Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Final hour. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. You need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. 1-800-636-8686. RomeToHaveATake.com. At Jim Rome, JimRome.com. He is Rob Dibble, former big leaguer, World Series champion, NLCS MVP, coach, radio host, and good dude. It's a lot of things you got going on there, Dibble. What's up, buddy?
Very busy. My weekends are full. I usually coach four games a weekend, so it's doubleheader Saturdays, doubleheader Sundays, but it's fun.
Hey, man, you're surrounded by one of the great games on earth. That is a pretty good life. Out here, Dibs, on the West Coast, just an overwhelming amount of optimism and excitement about the Dodgers, despite really what's been, even though they're still one of the best teams in baseball, Cody Bellinger seems to have forgotten to hit, Corey Seager's been hurt, Betts have been hurt, the Trevor Bauer thing is obviously ugly, doesn't sound like he's going to play this season and maybe for the Dodgers again, but they go out at the deadline, Andrew Friedman, they get Max Scherzer, he goes to the mound tonight against the Astros, they get Trey Turner. What do you make of the Dodgers, how they're constructed, and what you expect, and what is still a really, really competitive NL West?
Well, I think everybody loves Max Scherzer, but I think Trey Turner is the steal of the trade deadline. I honestly love the kid. I think he's one of the most exciting young players, one of the fastest players, one of the most talented shortstops out there. So, Max is amazing, but he's a little bit older. You know, Trey Turner is the guy you could see in a Dodger uniform for the next 10 years and be an all-star every year, you know, with that lineup and the protection that he has in that lineup. But Scherzer's a guy that you get to win a championship. You know, just like a few years ago, the Astros got Verlander to win a championship, and he came through. I want Max for pressure games, meaningful games in September, and then in the postseason. And they're going to have a lot of them because the Padres are a good team. The San Francisco Giants are leading your division. So, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, the Dodgers already had the best statistically best pitching staff in Major League Baseball. They just got a whole lot better with guys that are used to pitching in tough ball games.
Dibble, there are many things I love about you. One of them is that you're super candid. So I'm going to give you my pet peeve and you tell me if I'm onto something or maybe I don't understand it properly. I don't get, and I'm incredibly impressed by the Giants. It's amazing what Farhan Zaidi has done. He has made them one of the best teams in baseball. I don't understand why Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations, would have allowed his GM and his right-hand man to interview for a job against the divisional rival that the fans hate. To me, it's not that Brian Cashman is good at his job anymore, but it would be as if the Yankees had won the AL East 8 years in a row, were dominating, had a right-hand man who was critical of that, and let him go be the GM of the Red Sox. Am I missing something here? I don't understand why that's not talked about more often.
Well, because all of those things, Bill, have gone by the wayside in the last 20 years. We now trade within our division. There were tons of trades. All 30 teams traded guys. Some teams helped other teams. And, it was crazy. I mean, the Mariners traded one of their best their closer to the Astros. You know, a team that you're chasing in the division. So whether it's executives, whether it's players, it's not frowned upon anymore. I don't get it. A pet peeve of yours is the same as mine. It's like, you know, why would you help somebody get better? I want them to be worse so that I can continue to dominate them. And that's what sports is all about. I'm not trying to help the division or help these guys get better jobs. Listen, if you want to go out on your own when your contract's up, that's fine. But I'm not going to give you permission while you're still under contract working for the Dodgers to go interview for other jobs. And that happens in football. It happens in basketball. Assistant coaches become head coaches, and it's kind of like, well, you've been such a good friend, and that it's always been that kind of networking that's upsetting. I mean, even look at you've got guys going from, you know, the field to Major League Baseball's executive offices, then back to Major League Baseball. And, listen, there's a conflict of interest all over the place. So when you make decisions like that are going to make the Giants better, that's where ownership's got to question, well, who's your loyalty to? The guys that are your friends that you brought on board, or this ownership group and this organization that traditionally the Dodgers have been like the Yankees on the West Coast. Honestly, they've been that good. They've been that dominant for years. They had the best pitching. They always had like the best rookies they'd bring up. They had the best scouting and development people. And, that's just crazy to help somebody else get better while, you know, you're trying to repeat as the world champions.
I'm with you. I mean, I'll just add on to that, Rob Dibble, here on the Jim Rome Show. The Dodgers are clearly the most talented team in baseball, but anybody can win. Anybody can win a single game. So if the Dodgers don't catch the Giants and have to play the Padres or someone else in the NL in a one-game playoff series, they can lose that. And if they're in that situation because Farhan Zaidi wove the same magic with the Giants and did with the Dodgers, it's malpractice. I mean, I understand let people be successful. Let Farhan go interview for the Yankees job when they fire Brian Cashman. I mean, it blows my mind. I'm glad we're on the same page. Rob Dibble here on the show. Dibs, you mentioned all these trades that we saw around baseball. The Nationals, who not that long ago won a World Series. The Cubs, who not that long ago, especially Dibs in Cubs terms, Cubs fandom years, not that long ago won a World Series, utterly and totally tore it down. Do you like the moves? Do you think that the return and that philosophy leads to success at some point in the foreseeable future for either organization?
No, because a lot of these ownership groups, and remember that, you know, the network that I work on, we play, you know, Yankee games, and I watch all the Red Sox and the Mets, that, you know, you've gotten rid of good general managers like Theo Epstein went to the Cubs. Terry Francona was let go after a couple of championships, and he went to Cleveland. Joe Girardi, after winning a championship, was basically forced out because he challenged the analytics department. You know, the upper brass, the upper echelon, and the ownership groups want to take more credit. And, you know, it's credit to your organization. It's, you know, it's not like anybody's putting the owners down when the scouts and evaluators help you win championships. But in some terms, in the last 20 years, the egos have gotten in the way. You know, I mean, you go all the way back to Loria when he fired Joe Girardi when he became manager of the year with the Marlins because he questioned the guy. Because the guy was screaming at him from, you know, behind the seats, behind the dugout. You know, that's the way I look at things. It's like, listen, when you have good people, you don't want to let them go. You know, it used to be that people would stay in organizations for 40 or 50 years, especially the scouting and development people. And this happened with the Lakers when I was living on the West Coast, Bill. Remember this? When, I think it was Jim Buss took over after his dad died, before Genie got control.
Yep.
And he brought in his bartender friend. He got all these other people, and he got rid of people that knew basketball for 40 years. So that happens all the time. And so with the Red Sox and the John Henry group, they were like, listen, you know, we helped build this championship team. We bought this team. We won these championships. No, not really. It was the evaluators and Theo Epstein and his people and Jed Hoyer and Charrington and all those great drafts that they had. Those people helped you win championships, and you had no loyalty to them. And that's the way we are in baseball today and other sports. There's no loyalty to any of these guys that help you win championships. Look at Joe Torre. You know, I've been doing this long enough to remember Joe Torre was not wanting to take a pay cut, and they ran him out the door. I remember when the president, who I guess he's married to George Steinbrenner's daughter, that guy saying the Yankees made Derek Jeter. You remember that comment? The Yankees made Derek Jeter. Are you nuts? Derek Jeter is one of the greatest players of all time. You know, he just happened to be in a Yankee uniform. So this is the kind of, like, egos that get in the way of success. And it's happening right now. I see it with the Yankees right now, where you've got people that are above Aaron Boone calling the shots. Aaron can't even make the kind of switches and changes he wants to make, and it costs them ball games constantly, you know. And it happens with the Mets. It's happening with the Cubs and the Nationals. Now your ownership group is like, listen, I don't want to pay these guys anymore. I don't want to pay them when they come up for free agency. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, we think younger players can do the exact same thing because we see Tampa do it. We see Oakland do it. Oakland hasn't won a championship since the 80s. Yet, with the whole Moneyball thing, you would think they've won five championships because that's what's portrayed out there in the media. Well, these guys are geniuses. No, the guys that keep winning championships are the geniuses, and really the scouts, the evaluators, and now with some of the analytics people that everybody has their place, everything comes together. But when you start questioning, like, your manager, your general manager, and the players on the field that helped you win those championships, if I'm a Cubs fan, I'm irate right now. You know, I sent Rizzo to the Yankees. I sent Baez to the Mets. I sent Bryant to the Giants.
Kimbrel to the White Sox.
Some of our arch rivals.
Kimbrel,
you know,
it's not great.
That sickens me as a Cubs fan.
All right, let's talk about some of the beneficiaries of the institutional arrogance of my Chicago Cubs. How do you think Chris Bryant impacts that NL West race? I mean, Trey Turner's amazing. Scherzer's amazing. I know that's a bigger haul. But Chris Bryant's a pretty nice ball player. How do you like him in that Giants lineup?
Well, first of all, I love the kid when he's healthy. And if they can keep him healthy, he's gonna be a game changer. You know, as you're going through their lineup as a pitcher, you have to worry always about the guy that if I make one mistake, he can hit a two-run, three-run home run and beat us. So knowing that and having been in the postseason against great teams like the Pirates and the A's like we played against, we knew and recognized the guys we had to be careful with and the guys that we could attack. And so that's what changes your lineup is when you put a Chris Bryant in there that with one swing of the bat, he could change the outcome of a contest. And like you said, if it's a one-game playoff, and Chris Bryant comes up with runners in scoring position or a chance to tie or win a ball game, give credit to your front office for pulling off that trade. And if he does come through, that's huge. If you have to pitch different to the guy in front of him or behind him, that's huge too. Because as a former pitcher, that's on my mind. You know, Chris Bryant's standing on deck. I better you know, definitely attack this guy. And then all of a sudden I feed him a fastball that he rips in the gap. And now I'm in trouble because of the guy that was on deck that wasn't even hitting. So that's the difference with Chris Bryant. His bat being in the lineup is a game changer.
Dibs, I'm a huge Anthony Rizzo fan. Not as big a Joey Gallo guy, but obviously the Yankees went out and got two big bats. Do you like the moves? Do you think the Yankees are going to, by the end of this regular season, live up to what are some pretty serious expectations in New York?
Dude, Yankees are in huge trouble. You got Cole and Montgomery are on your IL for 10 days with COVID. Germán just went on the IL. Severino's been battling a bad groin. He's not even back from 2 years ago. They had to win that game last night with three rookies coming up and basically filling some holes because Cole couldn't make the start. And Andrew Heaney, he got blasted by the last place Orioles the other night. So, you know, yeah, I love the Rizzo move. I even love the Gallo move. Listen, that's a lot of punch in your lineup, and they're both good defensive players. So you can stick them anywhere, and they got better. I mean, listen, I think Gallo's a better outfielder than Giancarlo Stanton. So Rizzo's a great first baseman, great bat in your lineup, and plus he's a different voice. He's a different like type of leader, and it's always nice to put guys with championship rings in your locker room for younger guys to kind of see how they prep for games and things like that. But, you know, he's a fun-loving guy. He's comical, and I think they're too businesslike. So I like it in that respect. But, it, you know, not getting a Gibson, not getting a Berríos or a Max Scherzer or somebody like that, an ace to go with Cole, I think that could hurt them if they do make the postseason. So, yeah, you know, Heaney's a nice guy, you know, probably back end of the rotation guy, but not getting more help in your bullpen and not getting an ace starter, that could come back to bite the Yankees.
All right, Dibs, last one for you here on the Jim Rome Show. NL East, how does it forecast it for me? What's the likelihood you think that the Mets hold on?
It's very likely because everybody else in that division doesn't seem to want to win it. Marlins don't seem to want to do much. Nationals just gutted their team. Braves have a ton of injuries. The Acuña Jr. injury is just huge for them. The Phillies are the ones breathing down their neck. A game and a half back, they got better because of some trades. I mean, so I like the Phillies to battle them the whole way, but it's really not a great division. When you look around at the, you know, National League West, that's a great division. When you look at the NL East and even the NL Central, you know, there's a lot of teams that are going to battle to stay above 500. The Reds are one of them. The Cardinals are another one. But the NL East is very much like that one. It's kind of like, okay, there's some good teams, but there's not a lot of great teams. And I did like the Rich Hill move. I think that guy is a guy that he's a pitcher. He's not going to try to throw 98. He's going to go out there. He's going to try to get through the lineup two times, maybe three times. He's going to give you 18, 21 outs strong. That was great. But the Mets got to get healthy, man. Lindor being hurt, DeGrom being hurt. Now he's got a setback. He's been shut down for 2 weeks. What the hell's going on with Syndergaard? I mean, that guy, he does more tweeting than pitching. So, if they could get healthy with their pitching staff, I think they could win it. If they don't, they're not going
to
win it.
Rob Dibble, hey, buddy, it's great talking to you. Thank you for just resetting me with the Cubs, because you're right, I am livid. I'm just going to go back to pre-2016 when I didn't expect any success, hope, or joy for my team. If I just accept that, I'll be in a good place mentally, pal. Thanks for being on, buddy.
There you go, Bill. Take care, bud.
All right, brother. Rob Dibble on the show. Dibs, it is so refreshing. I say this every time it comes on. It's why I have him on all the time. It is so refreshing to find people who will be honest. I'm telling you, in this business, the chair I'm sitting in right now, it is way too often that what you hear from people when you're listening is totally different when you're not, when I'm having a beer with the person having the exact same conversation. And that's with anybody. It's really hard with former players who are friends with everybody and care about whether they're liked. Love Rob Dibble because he says exactly what he thinks. If you want to give us a call here on the Jim Rome Show, I'm Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. 1-800-636-8686. RomeAtHavitTake.com at Jim Rome. JimRome.com. Hit me up, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Let's get into the very unfortunate reality for the Indianapolis Colts and their quarterback situation and an unlikely dad bod savior. That's sarcasm from Philip Rivers. Not the dad part, the savior part. Next year on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's up? Bill Ryder with you. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, filling in for Jim. Went down a rabbit hole last night that I didn't mean to go down. Now I can't stop thinking about it. I went to Peacock to watch some Olympics, was scrolling around, and it's NBC's streaming platform. Not nearly as good as Paramount Plus, by the way. But I saw a movie on there that I'd never seen before. And just to play a joke on my wife, because she loves Daniel Craig and James Bond, I started the movie. The movie was Cowboys and Aliens, and then paused at the beginning, and Lori came back into the room, and I said, oh, I think it's the first 20 minutes of the new James Bond movie. And she got super excited and then pushed play. I go, it's the first 20 minutes released, because I'm a bad husband. And it's Daniel Craig in some barren landscape basically killing cowboys. And she goes, why is he in the West? I'm like, I don't know. Shh, I haven't known anything about the movie. It took her 25 minutes to realize it's Cowboys and Aliens, which she was not amused by. And at that point, we both looked at each other. Well, I guess we watched. I can't stop watching Cowboys and Aliens. Jon Favreau, everyone's in it. If you are an actor, actress, you're in it. And it is pretty terrible. I'm halfway through it. Don't ruin it, Rit. Don't be chopping broccoli on me, shirt you're wearing, and ruin Cowboys and Aliens. It's the Gone in 60
chopping
Seconds.
Chopping broccoli.
Dana Carvey. I wouldn't have got it. I thought it was Adam Sandler earlier. It makes the shirt that much cooler. Yeah, that is a old movie. All right, that's what I got. I can't stop thinking about two things. Cowboys and Aliens, because it's awful, but I can't look away. And the Colts quarterback situation, because it's awful, and I can't look away. Carson Wentz is out for 5 to 12 weeks. Jason Lock and Forrest, CBS NFL Insider, told you earlier, and he's right, 5 to 12 weeks is 12, probably 12 weeks. It is hard to err on the side of optimism with any NFL team that gives you a window, because it's usually the backside of that window. And Carson Wentz has spent most of his career being injured. And that's a bummer, and it's unfortunate. But the Colts got to figure out what they're going to do. And Jacob Eason is an option, second-year quarterback, young dude. And I could try to give you a perspective on that. I could point out that Tom DiBenedetto, who evaluates quarterbacks for fun in the spare time, liked him coming out of college. I could get into, you know, what his measurements are and how it, here's the deal. The Colts probably know, and they'll certainly know in 2 or 3 weeks, what they think. It really depends what they're seeing behind the scenes, whether they're going to make moves. But he's not going to be Andrew Luck. And he's certainly not going to be what Carson Wentz could have been. And the idea that Wentz was going to be healthy and therefore be dynamic and therefore the Colts were going to live up to the expectations of a really good roster and be a Super Bowl contender, that was not a foregone conclusion. Wentz was not very good last year, threw as many picks just about as he had touchdowns, didn't complete that many of his passes, 57%. And the ability to reunite with Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator when Wentz was mostly healthy, wasn't healthy the whole year, and great all the way back in 2016 with the Eagles, it's tantalizing. We all love the idea of lost promise regained. It's a good story, right? We can all relate to it. Wasn't a sure thing. What is a sure thing is that without Wentz, the good version, this team is in trouble. You could go to Nick Foles, poor. It's really like sad Nick Foles. And I'm sure they played it yesterday here on the show. Foles is a bear, basically. I'll just do my imitation. Hey, I'm a bear. Help me. Please, Frank Reich, come and get me. You go get mediocre Mariota in Vegas. That's probably not going to work. You know, we've named Jacob Eason, Eason him into it because you can't do it overnight. Or you can go get Fat Phil. Because that's what Philip Rivers is. And that's not me saying he's fat. I mean, I'm saying he's Fat Phil. It's Philip Rivers telling us down in Alabama where he's a high school coach that he's not in NFL shape, but he wants to play.
That's horse mess.
Yeah. How about you get into NFL shape and then say, get into game shape and then say you want to be in the NFL?
Dadgummit.
I didn't catch that one. Could I hit that again? Because it's really funny.
Dadgummit.
I can't tell if that is a Philip Rivers drop or a really critical moment in Cowboys and Aliens where the guy just can't deliver the line. Can I hear it again?
Dadgummit.
Yeah, I think that's definitely Cowboys and Aliens. There's actually a scene where the alien shows up and starts cradling this kid and then kills people. It doesn't even make sense. And neither do the Colts options. And look, I think, and I said this on this show a few days ago, putting all of your eggs, all of your hopes in the Carson Wentz basket is going to lead to the exact outcome we find ourselves in. It's going to be fairly disastrous. And you have to navigate things as they are. Life isn't fair. Unfair things happen. That's part of the deal, especially in the NFL. However, it probably is worth pointing out that you don't, as you build an organization, as you try to figure out what you're going to do, as you game plan, you tend not to think if you're one of the few teams that find themselves with a franchise quarterback, Hall of Famer, all-time talent, you tend to believe he's going to play football for a normal duration over the course of a career. And I'm not mad at Andrew Luck. You do you. I don't know what he's doing right now. I imagine his beard is, you know, and you can't see me, those of you on radio, but I have my hands way out in front of my face. It's like Santa Claus times 10, and he's probably fishing, and he's living his best life.
Fat!
And I'm happy for him. That is a brutal hole to try and find your way out of if you are that organization. And now you wake up and you say, maybe I'll go with Philip Rivers. What did he play? He a 17-year guy? He's old. He's mediocre in the playoffs. He can't win big games. And he's in dad bod shape. Good luck with that one. Mariota is interesting. Problem is, if I'm Vegas, if I'm the Raiders, I know Derek Carr played really well. And I know that he's kind of refound a little bit of his groove under Gruden. But where are we at in the Gruden experiment? Year four, year five? You're halfway or not even halfway through a 10-year, $100 million investment in a TV personality?
You ever been on a boat that's sinking?
Yeah, that is a great drop. Yeah, it's called, yes, the one called the Las Vegas Raiders. Yes, it's the only boat sinking in all of Nevada. There's a drought there.
50-50.
I mean, and he's such a funny guy. You can't give away your backup quarterback in Marcus Mariota if he's even halfway serviceable. Because if Derek Carr goes down, if Derek Carr doesn't go down, the Raiders are going to win 17-game season. They're going to win 7 games. They're going to win 7 games. That's what they are. That is a 7-10 football team. If you don't have, if Carr gets injured by some turn of, you know, some twist of bad fate, of poor luck, and you don't have Marcus Mariota, who's not exactly a superstar, You're going to win three games. You're going to be paying John Gruden $100 million just to be as awful as you were before. So I'm not making that move if I'm Vegas. Nick Foles makes sense. Maybe Easton will be good. I can't believe I'm saying this. Philip Rivers, dad bod and all, mediocrity and all, actually feels like a legitimate possibility, which tells you the Colts are screwed. That's
Told
it.
Ya.
They're
Told
yeah,
ya.
They're screwed. It ain't fair.
I'll quit crying.
I'm not crying. I'm just angry. It's not right for the Colts. Ritz found his groove. Put that
horse mask.
Yeah, put that man in a chopping broccoli shirt. He's a whole different guy.
Dadgummit.
Yeah, the clothes make the man. Colts are going to be awful this year. Because it doesn't matter how good your roster is. Doesn't matter how capable your staff is. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance in the National Football League. You just don't. And you don't need Patrick Mahomes. That helps. You don't need Aaron Rodgers. That helps unless you're the GM and you're just, you know, taking Pepto-Bismol like it's water on a regular basis. But, I mean, what's the base minimum? Ryan Tannehill. You need a Tannehill. You know, that is the base minimum. And that's not a shot at Tannehill. He's a really good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. I think he's probably, again, relative to Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Herbert, Josh Allen, right? Those, I think Tannehill's probably the worst quarterback in the NFL you can win a Super Bowl with this year. I guess it depends how you judge a Baker Mayfield, like where you would put him, and that's a really, really good roster. That's the base minimum. That's not Marcus Mariota. It's not. That's not Philip Rivers before dad bod, certainly not with the dad bod. Nope. That's probably not Jacob Eason, though. I don't know. We don't know. You don't know. That's a serious long shot. That was maybe Carson Wentz, if had he been able to get to form. And maybe Wentz could have been better. Maybe he could have been above that line. Colts fans, I'm sorry. This goes all the way back to, I was actually on the Jim Rome show when that news broke 2 years, 3 years ago, whatever it was. Andrew Luck's gone. He's not coming back. And there are still consequences for that. All right, 1-800-636-8686 if you want to give us a call. By the way, Bella B's amazing. She crushes it. Put in the effort. Send in those emails. If you want a chance to have your email or tweet read at Jim Rome, at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, I can't even say my last name because I'm so excited to be on the Jim Rome show, RomeAndHaveATake.com. Let's get into that stuff and talk a little bit of NBA free agency. There's some notes I want to hit before the show comes to an end. We'll do all that next on the Jim Rome show after we get a CBS Sports Radio update. All right, final segment of the Jim Rome Show on this Wednesday. Bill Ryder with you filling in. What is going on? And it is that time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where youth clones get to ask us a question that you've submitted at cbsportradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bella B for the win again. It's a good question. This is one of those non-sequitur, out-of-left-field, awesome questions that I want to answer every day of my life. I'm walking around L.A. This is a question I want someone just to ask me. Hey, Bill, what was your take on the Sopranos final? Thanks, Bella B. in Calgary. Yeah, I think it was brilliant. I loved it. And Tony died. That's what I think about the Sopranos finale. He got in front of his wife and son in the back of the head like he deserved. And we all deserved it too. And that's part of what they were saying to us, because what was Tony Soprano? There's one answer. There's one correct answer. Not a father, not a mafia guy. He's a sociopath. The whole show was about us rooting for a sociopath because they included the familial part of it. What he did to his nephew was the moment where I was like, oh my God, they put me in the ground spiritually. And I've been rooting for it. Got what he deserved, and so did we. That's what happened. Great question. There's been that show, not any other show, that show was the dawn of the greatest generation in television history. And the episodic approach to like doing, you know, forget Wings, forget Cheers. We're going to tell 100-hour films week to week, season to season. And I think The Wire's probably the better show. But there's an argument. The more that I consume all this great TV that's out there, and there's so much great television, it's overwhelming. My wife, Lori, and I are rewatching season one of True Detective, which she's never seen. Now, True Detective season one is to sort of this conversation, what Godfather one is and two is to three. At least there's two great Godfathers, and then I pretend the third one doesn't exist. Can't watch True Detective season two, and I don't even know what happened in three yet. I don't want to know. Oh, so good. So dark, too. All of it comes from The Sopranos. And I've been rethinking my Wire take lately. I've been starting to think about whether or not... I'm not kidding. I walk around L.A. wishing someone would ask me what Bella B. asked me. I really do. I have an answer. I think Sopranos might be the greatest TV show of all time because it's almost as good as The Wire, A. It sparked all this kind of television, including The Wire, B. And C, Tony Soprano got. Man, The Wire's good, though. Good question. Here's another question. What's the best television show to ever take place in L.A.? I mean, Sopranos is New York and Jersey. The Wire is Baltimore. True Detective Season 2 takes place in L.A., which I love L.A., but it's the only thing that's ever made me not like L.A. is the fact that horrible, terrible show took place. I guess maybe is Entourage allowed to be in the conversation? It's so self-referential, though. All right, let's go to the phone lines here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. Maddie in L.A., my guy, what's up? You're on the Jim Rome Show, buddy.
What is up, Billy Westsider Ryder, my man? Hey, from Hermosa Beach to Helsinki, from Rosecrans to Rangoon, you're welcome. My man, I am on the opposite side of the Russell Westbrook argument as you. Now, I heard you yesterday and you're doubting pickup, but doubt it no more, Billy. With these shooters we're bringing in, with Big Russ being the number three, you know, he doesn't have to worry about that coward Durant bailing on him. He doesn't have to worry about other things. All he has to worry about is facilitating the next world championship to L.A. Now, secondly, moving on to Max Scherzer tonight, I was at the Ravine last night, and those puke Astros got exactly what they deserved. They got F-bombed. They got booed. Unfortunately, our offense is kind of like Irate Craig on a bender, dormant. So hopefully, man, these bats can wake up and we can do something because I'm calling it. We're going back-to-back in both sports. This is going to be the glory days. You're in it because you're a South Bay resident. Rajon Rondo, you're missing out. Anyway, War Irate Craig using a ball of twine as dental floss, a belt, and a zip line to cross the L.A. River, and War Drizzle inventing a new martial arts discipline with corn stalks called corn foo. Outro.
Thank you, Maddie. I like the deep dive. I like the old the Rondo comments because Rondo almost was my neighbor. It was a house for rent next to me for $2 billion a month, and we got the tip from the landlord. A clipper was coming over. It was Rondo, and I really had a crisis of conscience. Do I tell this guy you do not want to live next to me because I'll talk about you constantly on the radio? And he just could intuit it. I also like the Rosecrans deep drop. Those of you not on the West Coast, that is a street that runs in L.A. from the water eastward. I drove on it today to get here to the Jim Rome Show. Let's go to Vegas. Pasquale, what's going on, buddy? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Bill Ryder, it is always great to be on the radio with you. It's a pleasure. I'm feeling a little sorry for you after that Phoenix Suns debacle with you getting down. But, hey, you know, it happens to the best of us. You're doing a great job filling in for the Pimp in the Box while he's in Wisco having a great, great vacation. I'm loving these Laker pickups. I think Russell Westbrook is a baller. Speaking of Rosecrans, Luzinger High School, shout out, L.A. dude. And Look at Kendrick Nunn in the pick and roll with Anthony Davis and Malik Monk. I think Malik Monk is going to be great playing in the backcourt with Westbrook and Wayne Ellington, great shooters. I think Rob Pelinka was like the scene in Goodfellas when everybody was getting whacked in free agency. He just went off on every GM in the NBA, and the Lakers were like, we're back, we're the Lakers, and LeBron's like, the King's going to sit back in the throne. I'm out. Lakers back to the championship. Melo coming to town. Wore Bill Ryder in Manhattan Beach getting a championship ring on his finger. And keep holding it down, Bill. Feeling you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. I hope you're right. The thing is that I've had years where I have a perspective on something in the NBA or the NFL, and people make the argument you make, right, the counter-argument, and I just don't buy any of it. I buy some of it. You could be right. I really like Malik Monk as a part of the deal, as a part of the process. Really good shooter. I like Kendrick Nunn. I just, Westbrook, Howard, Melo make me really, really uncomfortable with the stability of that team and the likelihood of success. Thank you for the call here on the Jim Rome Show. All right, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Sweet Willie. That is funny. That's also a little... See, if I'm going to call Red Old Man, I'm going to call poor Tom over here Count Chocula. Fungo Pop, by the way. My wife angrily texts me. It's a Fungo Pop. And there's one of Count Chocula. I got to lean into the nickname that Archel Hawkins gave me and Jim Jackson spread. Sweet Willie, you definitely don't have to worry about Old Man Rit chopping any actual broccoli. Vegetables are his kryptonite. Jason in Texas. Rit, you're anti vegetables? Apparently he is. He's making a face like, yes, I am. To be fair, that's a good, what was the, well, you can't talk. You don't have a microphone. I'd love to know the context of where that came from. Where does Rit do an on the radio on the Jim Rome Show? I don't know. His birthday segment where he got to do the whole, I missed that one. We were going through some Rit greatest hits in the break, and I really enjoyed the Thursday, Trainwreck Thursdays was my favorite. How long did that last? 8 weeks? Was it months? 8 months. Yeah, I didn't get into. I didn't connect into it as quickly as I should have, and it was some of the best radio I have ever heard. I do want to hit a few free agency notes, just a few things that have happened. Some news has come down, just context of what we already knew. Kemba Walker, we know, New York Knicks, bought out by the Thunder, and the reporting now that's out there, the reports, 2 years, $8 to $9 million a year. I have two thoughts, maybe three. Thought number one, it's a great signing by the Knicks, great signing. Thought number two, final thought. The buyout market is a travesty. It is a joke. You can't have parity in a sport if certain teams, like the Thunder, are going to abdicate on trying to win and don't have to live up to the contract, just pay guys to go away. And then those guys, money in hand, can go play anywhere they want. I hate it. It's stupid. The NBA should do away with it. However, these are the rules as they're laid out. You operate by the rules of the arena that you compete in. I got it. I get it. I understand it. Good for the Knicks. Good for them. John Collins, 5 years, $125 million. I like it for Atlanta. I know the Hawks clearly didn't want to pay that kind of money because they offered him a lot less, and they had a bit of a before the season, and they had a bit of a standoff. Collins played really well, performed at a high level for the most part, sometimes a great level, a couple times in the playoffs. He's an important part of what they do. And everyone's talking about, are the Hawks going to live up to expectations or not? Was it a fluke? I think DeAndre Hunter might be a better player than John Collins. Different player. I get it. He was hurt for most of that run. Cam Reddish is probably not going to be a top four player on that team. But I'm in the minority. I remember Gary Parrish hated it. Matt Norlander hated it. I loved it. High upside. Maybe it doesn't work. I know he was hurt for a lot of last year. Hurt for a lot of the playoffs. Looked good in that final playoff game. I still think Reddish has a chance to be just a surprising contributor. Herter's a really nice player. You lock in John Collins. You get healthy. Now you have the right coach. I like the Hawks a lot. And obviously, we're waiting on Kawhi Leonard to make a move and make a decision. And Mark Medina said the same thing today that Howard Beck said here on the show on Monday, that I've been saying on my own show in the mornings here on CBS Sports Radio, the 2 hours before Jim's show. I don't know what Kawhi's going to do. I think he's going to be a Clipper. The Clippers think he's going to be a Clipper. Medina made the point that people have spent their money. Here's the thing. If Kawhi Leonard, and I have no indication of this. I'm just making this up as a point. If Kawhi Leonard woke up tomorrow, which is, you know, maybe how he operates. He just sort of does his own thing. And decided, no, I want to be a Warrior. Or woke up tomorrow and thought, you know, on second thought, I actually kind of feel like I want to be a member of the Sixers. Or insert any other team. Those teams will find a way to make it work. Doesn't matter what money they've spent. Doesn't matter their cap situation. They will find a way to make it work. If James Harden can force his way to the Brooklyn Nets when they already have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant under contract, then Kawhi Leonard is a free agent, can go wherever the hell he wants if he chooses to go somewhere else. Clippers make sense for all the reasons we've talked about, not the least of which is they've created a locker room that is comfortable and happy with Kawhi. I'm not a big Paul George guy, but he played incredibly well in the playoffs for the most part, and I think proved me a little wrong in his inability to play well in big games, which is great. I like PG as a guy. Kawhi makes sense to me. All right, thank you to Jim Rome for letting me do this, to Old Man Ritt for hanging out and wearing a cool shirt. Finally. To Thomas DiBenedetto, who it's amazing to see as the executive producer of this show. I haven't had the pleasure to work with him for several years on my show over at CBS Sports Radio. Thanks to JLC. Thanks to Mark Medina. Appreciate that, dude. Thanks to Rob Dibble. And thank you for listening. I appreciate you. Jim's back Monday. Sklar Brothers in tomorrow. I'm Bill Ryder. Have a great rest of your day.